Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 36. This week's guest is Monica Smith. Monica's been on the show before at the very beginning of the podcast, and she's come back to discuss the GitSwap project with us.
Hi, this is Heather O'Kloss, and I have a few questions I want answered by our pinhole people. What music do you listen to when you are in the dark room? Are you getting down and dancing in the dark room, or are you in silent solitude? I personally listen to some funk and silent solitude when I have to think too hard. Okay. Thanks for all that you do with your podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 36. This is the future Thanksgiving show. A week
it's
early.
It's our medium format show.
Yeah.
6x6. 6x6.
36. That was a quick. Cool. That was a quick week, wasn't it? Seems like we just spoke a few days ago, Andrew.
Well, have you had a busy week?
Yeah, I've been super busy.
Just driving.
Driving pretty much, yeah.
I've not shot much in the way of pinholes, but I did go out today with my... We went for a walk in some woods, and I took with me my Toyo 4x5 field camera with a 6x17 back panoramic back on it, and shot some pictures of trees.
That's the roll back, isn't it? It's like you can...
Yeah, it is. It's a roll film back. And it's made by a Chinese company called DAYU or something. And it's in two parts. And you have you compose the image. So it has a focusing screen with an extendable hood. So you compose the image. Mm. And when you're happy, you take that off and you put the film back on, which sits in the same place.
Right.
And
did the tree sit still?
They did. Yeah, there was people kept annoyingly walking into the shot.
You know? Oh, my God.
Walking their dogs.
Walking. Don't they know who you are?
No, didn't tell them. And I was going to record.
Andrew, sweet and salty Bartram. International man of mystery.
I don't know what to say. I'm lost for words. You must have got inspiration from a pack of goodies in front of you on your desk.
Which goodies?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Where you picked that up from. So I was going
there's goldfish. My son has a box of variety of goldfish and animal crackers, and on the box it says sweet and salty.
That's me.
So there you go. You're the variety pack, Andrew. 9 of each.
I was going to pinhole portrait myself while we were recording this. I was going to message you guys to do the same, but then I realized the only film I had in my camera was Delta 100, and I did a quick check, and I'd have had to have sat here for 3 hours.
Oh yeah, that'd have been fun.
Oh,
so as you can hear, this week's guest is Monica Smith.
She can barely contain herself.
Crafty Monty, right? Yep.
Well,
we had Monica on a really long time ago. She was our first guest on our second show with me and Mark, and she's back. How are you? How are you doing, Monica?
Good.
How's the Pacific Northwest?
I'm great. I'm doing good. It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
What do you call perfect weather?
Sunny. It's the sun is shining and it's not hot. It's like, you know, in the 50s, I guess, 50 degrees. I don't know what that translates to Celsius, but really nice fall day.
Early mornings when you've had a clear day this time of the year, and then overnight the temperature drops, and in the morning you get the mist and fog over the landscape. Do you get that? And then it burns off as the day goes. Is that typical of where you are?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, us too.
It is. It's very typical. We do get a lot of fog.
Do you go out and shoot in those conditions?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Not always, but sometimes. I should probably do it.
But you normally have to get up early. That's the trouble around here anyway.
I'm lucky in the fact that I have to drive to work and right on the water all the time. So
yeah.
I just keep my camera in the van, and if I see something, I'm never running so late that I can't stop for, 5 minutes and take a picture. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to ask you first of all, Moni.
That's cool.
How's the knee? And tell us, remind folk what you did.
Oh God. Oh God. Okay. So I sprained my knee. I was actually meditating.
Isn't that supposed to be?
And I got up sedentary, from sitting
like a sedentary. But you're supposed to be relaxed.
Like a cross leg lotus position. And I got up. I know. Maybe I was a little too relaxed. I don't know. And then, so anyway, I got up and I.
So you were sitting like crisscross applesauce, basically, is what my kids call it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that you pulled your knee.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so. Yeah, so I haven't really been out with my pinhole.
Well, you've been busy, but you've been busy because you've been having to keep track of.
But it's getting better.
The Git Swap project, right? That I think. It left Mark had it, and he's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I think he already mailed it. So that's right.
Yeah, he mailed it off to Spain. So I had and updated it the Git Swap website with some new results from Jesus in Spain and Donna in Portland.
Bonnie, why don't you take time?
There's been a lot of activity there.
We have one or two new listeners since show number two. So why don't you just take time to remind folks what the Git Swap project is?
So the Git Swap project is we're sending a camera around the world, and the camera is a pinhole camera. It's a Terrapin Oscar that Todd Schlemmer 3D printed, and we are doing film swaps with the camera. So
with me.
What happens is person number one.
Oh, I see you. Yes,
shoots,
I was person. Yes, you. Were, yes.
Which is me actually. It was me, and I. We'll use us as an example.
Hello?
So I had.
Hello, Corey. First, yes,
and I shot a roll of pinhole, right? And then when I was done with my roll, I rewound it to the first frame.
No.
And then I put it in the mail to Andrew. And then he shot over my roll. And so the exposures were double exposed. And then he developed the film, and I posted the results on the website. And then he shot a second roll.
No, I didn't. I handed it to her.
And sent it off to Diane. You handed it to her. That's right. Yeah, because we were all together in...
Hello? I don't know.
Yeah.
That was weird.
We just cut you off. We were having a great conversation without you.
Did you not hear me? Could you guys?
Yeah, heard you say hello.
I heard you.
And I said, yeah, we can hear you. And we were carrying on.
Yeah.
We were carrying on having a great conversation. We forgot about you. And then you ditched us.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pick up right now. Okay. I don't know. That was really weird.
So where were we?
We were. So you'd handed.
I sent
got the
camera.
To you. That's right.
Yeah, and then you, we met in Norwich. We met at the Norwich Cathedral, right?
Well, rewind a little bit because since you've been to the UK, you can now pronounce it properly, can't you?
I know. The first episode, I did not pronounce it right. That was like the first thing you said to me when we met.
That was so brilliant.
You corrected me.
We turned up to the Norwich Cathedral. And suddenly you're meeting all these people that you've only just interacted with and online. And it's just fabulous. I love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And and so you were able to, because Diane was there also. Mm. So you were able to give her the camera. And you'd already shot your roll. And so.
Well, I made, I shot it that lunchtime, didn't I? When I was doing all those handheld. When I did you all against the wall, if you recall.
Yes.
Now, But I messed up because I shot a really good roll of everybody.
Yeah.
What did I do? I didn't rewind it. I wound it on as
though.
And so I had to go and shoot another roll. So I have a roll of portraits that I've scanned.
Yeah, that's cool.
But then I shot everybody again. I did everybody twice. And that evening in the pub over fish and chips and beer, I gave the camera to Diane.
Cool.
Who did clever things with it.
I'll get it one day.
Yeah, well, you'll get it. You'll get it soon, I hope.
You said yours was coming from somewhere exotic, I think.
Mine?
Look.
Mm.
Oh, no. Yeah, mine's coming from, I think it's, I'm either sending it or it's coming from Texas. Is that exotic for you?
No, yours is coming from, I'm going to say the Philippines or Honolulu or somewhere. Okay.
It's coming from the Philippines, yeah.
Philippines, yeah. All right.
Yeah, so you are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 people away from getting it.
Oh, that's a year.
And how many people took part on this round of Kit Swap?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people already. So that's pretty good, actually.
People, if people wanted to tag onto the list, can this just keep going? Are you looking for more people?
Yeah, why not? If they want to sign up, they just go to getswap.org. And there's a link that says sign up, and so just go there and fill out the form.
There you go, folks. So if you, and it's a lot of fun.
If you would like to host a pinhole camera at your home, sign up.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But you were doing these print swaps before, weren't you? Some on your website. There's a site with some print swaps, and I think you did some with Mark. You did print swaps with Mark beforehand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Film swaps.
But it's really fun. Yeah, film swaps. I've done it both with pinhole and 35mm, and they're really fun. Some of the results can just be really like serendipitous, and it's cool. It's really a fun project to do with somebody.
I think you were getting all anxious, Corey, on episode 2 about how to judge your exposure, because you think, well, the person who shot it before you, have they shot it with a film rated at full speed or half speed? And then I think in the end you just decided not to worry about it and just go with it.
Just shoot it, yeah. There was somebody on the Facebook group talking about that too. They were trying to come up with some magic, ratio of underexposing one shot and overexposing another shot, and then mm-hmm. I was just like, you're way overthinking it. You just you know what I mean? You got to kind of just do it and just see what happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I know Donna, who had the camera a couple times ago, kind of thought a little bit about that, because her I think the one that she shared with Peter from Australia, her shots kind of didn't come through as well. And so the next role that she shared with Jesus in Spain, she put some thought into I can't remember if she said she underexposed by a spot stop or what, but anyway, she did kind of put some thought into it, and they did turn out a little bit better. Personally, I am not a technically minded person, so I don't really think about stuff like that. I like to just try it and then
just do
and
it.
That seems to work for me, so
yeah
it's
right
always worked.
Well, for quite some time, maybe my first 5 or 10 years of pinhole photography, I never really considered reciprocity. Well, I did consider it, but I didn't consider it as for a specific film. You know, for example, I'd just use some general guidelines. If it was like over a second, I'd double it, and if it was 5 seconds, I'd maybe times it by 2 or 3. You know, and if it was like 10 seconds by 4 or 5, maybe, you know, and maybe because I was using fairly flexible black and white film, I don't know. But I did that with Pan F as well, and my results were fine. And now I find myself getting all anxious about it, you know, and
And so I wonder, it's interesting.
Because when I used to go every year, I go shooting pinhole and other photography with Alex Yates, and he's like got all these reciprocity tables and curves, And he's there's me. I'm just opening the shutter, and he says, "Well, how are you judging that?" I says, "I'm just using the force, you know." Yeah. So I'm like the the Jedi Knight of pinhole photography.
Funny.
I love using the force. It kind of, I don't know. It seems like whenever I use the force, it works. So
yeah.
I don't know.
We can overthink these things. I think
I'm the same with you, Monty. I do the same thing. I'm the same way. I just kind of just, it's going to happen. You're going to get a result either way. And that's what it was meant to be. Whether you're reading the charts and everything, the reciprocities or whatever, you know, you're just doing it, you know, just.
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, Monty, you're doing something really well. We'll come on to your images in a while, because they are great. And we just send folks over to your Instagram site if you want to see Monty's work. But on the subject of exchanging prints and things, Neil Piper on Facebook asked about, how do I get into the postcard swap?
I like the postcard swap.
You want to tell folks about the beginning of the postcard swap, where that grew from, and how he can get on board with that?
Yeah. So, gosh, I mean, it was like maybe 4 years ago or something that I started this, and actually started with Alex Yates, and we hosted it on Elfster, and basically once a month you just sign up for it, and Elfster works really well for it because I have a deadline to sign up on the 15th of the month. And you have to, and then on the 16th, Elfster automatically draws your person that you're going to send a card to.
Yep.
And then you have to send it by the end of the month. And you only have to send a card to one person, so it's not completely stressful or anything like that. And I really liked the idea of doing postcards for some reason. I'm kind of fascinated by the idea of this print. This photo being sent through the mail and all of these people seeing the print, you know, all the hands that it goes through as it crosses the world or wherever, or crosses the United States. I love that idea. So that's kind of why the idea of the postcard, kind of instead of just a print that you send through the mail.
So I am on the Elfster for the postcard list. Mm-hmm. So if somebody really wants to do it, and you're like me, and I always forget to try and register for something by the 15th or whatnot, just go and do it, because it'll send you an email.
Every
month with a link.
Question.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It'll send you a link. And so if you want to do it, you can. If you say, I just can't do it, I don't have time this month, you know, you can just skip over. You're not automatically enrolled in it, you know, so.
You're not. And if you want to sign up for it, the information to sign up is on my website, montysmithphoto.com. And there's a page that says postcard swap. And so you could just click on that, and it'll send you to a link to an Elfster page where you can sign up for the group. And then you'll sort of just get on like a mailing list to be notified for the next swap. If there is a swap going on, you'll just be sent to like the current sign up for the swap that month.
And I'll put the link to Elfster in the show comment. So if anybody just is really into it and wants to do it, they can just find it there, and they can just tap on it.
And for those of if guys out there, you're printing in a wet darkroom, then you can use you can use the Ilford Portfolio grade of paper, which is all marked out with postcards stuff on the back, and that's like a heavyweight paper. It's a resin coated paper, but it's quite heavy, and that's superb. I've used it for I first started using that 22 years ago when my son was born, and I started sending for the first year or two. I sent postcards of him growing up, you know, to friends and family.
That's so cool.
That's a good idea.
And that was just wonderful. And I used to write it as though he was writing it, saying, "Hello, Granny. Thought you might like to see this picture of me in the garden," whatever, you know, playing with a garden hose or something.
I love that.
Well, you're really into postcards, though, aren't you? Aren't you, Monty? Because I heard you on the postcard.
The
postcards. That's what it was. Yeah.
I have a really good friend. Actually, my oldest internet friend we've known each other for like 15 years at this point, and we've never met in person. I invited him to come to Boston, which I think we're going to talk about here like later. But anyway, he has a podcast called The Postcardist, and he had me on his podcast a few months ago to talk about the postcard swap. And he's got a really interesting Instagram and podcast is really great too.
He's on Twitter as well, isn't he? I'm sure yes. We're following each other on Twitter.
Yeah, he's on Twitter, and he also participates in the postcard swap. But right. He's really more into traditional type postcards and collecting them, and so he's kind of gotten me into that too. Whenever I go somewhere, I always look for cool postcards.
Right. But so everybody knows, you don't have to be doing traditional black and white darkroom prints for the postcards.
Absolutely.
Right. You can do digital ones. You can. Yep. It's anything you want. So don't feel like you're out of it just because of that. That's not the main
requirement. No, I was going to say that. Thanks for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's open for anybody. Like, you don't have to be a film photographer. You can shoot digital. I mean, it's.
Sure. I guess you could do that. I guess you could buy blank postcard stock. Yeah, I'm sure you can, you know, and just print right off of your little inkjet printer you have or whatever.
Or you just take an end print. Is that a term you're familiar with? That's what we always used to call the little prints back from the lab. End prints, the little 4x6, whatever they are. And you can just use one of those, can't you, and write on the back.
Sure.
Stick a stamp on.
Yeah.
I've had somebody send me one of those, and it's gotten to me. So, yeah.
But I like you. I love the idea of the hands it goes to, because I sent a bunch of these things out earlier in the year, and I went into our local post office, and I thought, so each of these, as I had to get $1, £1.25 or whatever it was, stamped to send it to America, and I'm handing these things over, and of course your handwriting's on there, they can see the picture, And I thought, I wonder what they think. You know, they didn't say anything, but you just wonder if does the postman read it? How many people read it?
Yeah, I know. I always wonder that too.
And I could just imagine there's like a conveyor belt in the back of the post office, and like the guy grabs it and looks at it, you know, and like reads the back and looks at the picture for a second. He's like, oh, that's a great picture. And then just drops it.
I would totally do that if I was a postman. I would totally do that.
And the beauty of the postcard swap, as opposed to a print swap like Dustin Cogsdale's print swap
group. I was just going to say something about him too. Yeah.
The postcard, of course, you know what you're committing to, because with Dustin's group, it's a good idea to chat with the person you've been paired with and just decide between okay, I'm going to send you a 4x6 print, and then he sends you like a 16x20, and you feel a bit, I should have sent a bigger one. So with this, it's fairly... what's the word? I'm going to say egalitarian, or, you know, it's everyone knows what they're doing, don't they? Because it's a postcard. Yeah. So, you know,
it's a postcard.
Unless it's a 20x16 postcard, but then, everyone knows what a postcard is. So it's got to be postcard size. Right. And you're just limited to that cost of that stamp, aren't you?
Yeah. But some people will kind of like overdo it and send several prints to their swappy or something like that. And that's totally fine if somebody wants to do that. But it does kind of make the other person feel weird, because the expectation is just to send a postcard. So I like when people just do the post. I do. That's what I do. I don't care. You know, I'm just, that's, we're sending a postcard. That's it. So.
Cool. So go check it out. It's fun. Once a month. That's all it is. Just once a month. That's your only dedication level.
And just one postcard. Yep.
So I heard, Moni, that you didn't really hurt your knee by doing some strange yoga or meditation. You actually sold it for medical science. and you got paid enough money to go and buy a Kurt Mottweiler woodblack pinhole camera. Is that true or not? Is that just a vicious rumor that I heard? Or maybe I'm just starting.
Or did you do like the rest of us and just buy it and ask for forgiveness later?
Well, maybe not that extreme, but...
So this is a camera that's made from a single piece of elm or something, isn't it? Piece of wood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's one single piece of wood. Yep. And yeah, I bought it a few months ago at Blue Moon. And
oh, the local drug there ever, it is again. That Zeb Andrews. Zeb drug pusher Andrews.
He's a total. He's the one who got me addicted to pinhole photography because I took his pinhole photography class, and that's exactly where my whole obsession started. But yeah, anyway, yeah, and he's the one who pushed. Yeah, he's the one who sold me the woodblock, and he sold me the reality so subtle too, actually. Mm. But so yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful camera. And I actually got to meet Kurt because I've met him a couple times, but he invited me to. Well, basically, this is what happened. So I bought his camera at Blue Moon for like the full price. And then the next day, he had a sale on the cameras. And so...
Zeb would have known about that. He just didn't tell you.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So he felt kind of bad for that. So he was very, very kindly asked if I wanted to... Like, he offered to put like a leather strap on the camera. Just, you know, nice. Since I paid more than, you know, since he had the sale and everything, it was super nice. So anyway, I got to go to his studio. So I got to see his studio. It was really, really awesome. And then we chatted while he put the strap on my woodblock camera. So
where is he? Where's his studio?
It's in Portland.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Portland. So yeah, he's a Portland guy, and he is just a brilliant person. He just really very talented woodworker. He does all kinds of really cool stuff. So it was really fun to visit him and check out what he's working on. Actually,
he makes that camera that has the bulb shutter release. You squeeze the bulb, and the air pressure opens the shutter and do one of those deals.
Yeah. So I got to see all of these iterations of his, of that one that, I can't think of the name of it now, but it's the I think it's like a 6x12 camera, and it's,
I know the one you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
The really super expensive one that everybody wants, but, yeah, it was really cool. I got to see all of his iterations of that, and it was just like it was neat to see the process. It was fun.
Do you take your camera out in the rain?
No, I haven't done that. No, because I don't want to ruin it.
Why don't you leave it strapped to a post somewhere for a week and see if it's still there when you come back?
Oh God, no.
You see, you can't be a true artist unless you can leave your pinhole camera on a post for a week.
Yeah, that's a.
But maybe a homemade one.
That's the. It's kind of fun to see. Like everybody has a zero image, and it's like the zero images are all beat up, and you're a real pinhole photographer when your zero image is like
destroyed.
Practically destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's a bit battered. Well, I think it is. I haven't seen it in a while because it's back with Mr. Piper again. So.
Uh-oh. Oh. He's got it. Oh, that's cool. But I love the camera. I have my third roll in there right now. And I've only developed one of the rolls, and it was black and white. And I'm not a super big fan. I don't shoot a lot of black and white pinhole. I don't love it. So I like the results, but I'm not, you know, I don't like, because it's black and white, I'm not like super in love with the results, you know what I mean? But well, I think when I see the color rolls, I'll be like super stoked.
You say that, but I was one of your images on your Instagram site, Moni, taken in what looks like a public library from ground level with a 0x4x5. Library ghost.
Yeah. That's the only camera I really love doing black and white with, because I shoot 4x5 with that camera, and maybe it's because I've shot a lot of sheets of film through that camera, and I just am more familiar with how it works and so that kind of thing.
Are you using that zero image with only one of the bodies, not with the extra, you know, you can add.
Plates, yeah. 25, you've got 25 millimeter written down. So that's just as it comes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just one.
I have another plate for it. So I have like the 25 millimeter and then 50 millimeter choices, but I always choose 25 millimeter because I just like the wide angle.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't played much with that yet because I was given, you know, during the Todd's swap thing that he does.
Pachyderm.
Uh-huh. I didn't partake in that because I had no idea what it was. But Alex Yates gave me his. He was given. He ended up with a zero image 4x5, and he gave it to me.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, he picked Brendan's gift, which was that camera.
Yeah,
and
he gave it to me.
I was really bummed. I was bummed that Brendan gave that camera away because he's like, I'm still kind of sad about it because he shot so many cool photos with that camera. But anyway, I didn't know they were his.
So that's interesting. So I'll go back and look at Brendan's work. Because Brendan's shot a lot of really great photos with that camera. I've forgotten his online handle.
Aware of the Void.
That's mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure how to get to his Flickr. I think he might still be Aware of the Void on Flickr, but that's really where you'll see like most of his.
I didn't realize that camera has got such a great provenance. So,
what's Flickr? Yeah.
Oh, come on.
At the moment, Jimmy Hickford has got it. Jimmy came to stay a few weeks ago and he'd never used it. So I loaded it up with some, I think maybe FOMA 100, I'm not sure. And he took it away to shoot. So another one of my cameras is on loan at the moment, but I mean, it's super wide angle. That's 25.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I took some pictures with it in my garden and I stood it on one of those little Manfrotto tripods, the little tabletop ones. And I got the feet in the picture. So what are you using? What are you using?
I use exactly that. I hate carrying around a big tripod. So all of my photos are like from the ground up because I use the same small Manfrotto.
I maybe was tilting it down a little bit. So then it was sort of looking at its own feet.
So you have to kind of tilt up when you use that camera, especially, oh my gosh. Yeah. The angle is insanely wide on that camera. Yeah.
I like those crazy wide ones.
I love your environmental portraits you do. You seems to be a thing that you keep coming back to. And there's the one here you took with your 045 mm-hmm. office space. As a colleague of yours, maybe sitting at his or her desk. I can't tell.
Uh huh. But it's probably me because I do a lot of self portraits. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I do a lot of. I'm kind of shy about asking if I can take somebody's picture. I would love to do more portraits of other people, but I'm super shy about asking people. So I do a lot of self portraits for that reason, just because it's, I'm readily available. And Pinhole is fun to do self portraits because you can
open
the shutter and then just go jump into the frame really quick. And then
I like doing it too. I did some this weekend, actually, when I was in Asheville. Asheville has all these cast iron bronze statues. There's like a life-size pig with a little tiny baby pig, and there's all these crazy statues all over the place when I was up this weekend, and I went around and did the same thing, too, because I forgot my tripod, so I just laid my camera flat on the ground, you know what I mean? And people were looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm just like, oh... I don't have 20 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm kind of moving, like taking a picture and moving on, taking a picture, moving on, you know, because there was a parade going on. So it was like all Christmas parade going on. So I had to kind of like shuffle around and a lot of people looking cautiously at me and my little box that I'm shoving into.
I love that. I love all those people. Yeah. Most of the time people are like really friendly though. When they're just curious mostly about the camera.
Yeah. I got to meet up with my friend too. Tom, I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram. He's Pat McGroin.
No,
yeah, I think so. You've mentioned him before, haven't you? I forget why.
Yeah. I met up with him and his daughter. His son was in the parade. He plays in the band in school, and we hung out for a little bit and did some parade street photography, I guess is what you would call it. We were in the streets doing photography, so I call that street photography with a 35 millimeter camera. I know.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think you owned a 35 millimeter.
I know.
Yeah, I do. I have a little Olympus, the MJU, the MU1.
Mu. Yeah.
The Mu. I have that one, but I bought a developing tank from I can't remember his name right now, off of the Facebook group, the Negative Positives Facebook group. And when he sent the tank to me, he threw like a, you know, it's like a disposable camera in there, color. So I was like, okay. So I just kind of walked around with it and just, you know, took random pictures with it. So yeah, I'm flexing. I'm flexing my photography, you know.
I'm very impressed. Well,
we
decided a few weeks ago when we were chatting about this, that using other formats or indeed lensed cameras just enlarges your vision and
I still had the Lomo. I had my pockets were full of stuff because it was too warm to wear like a big heavy jacket, you know, so but just cool enough that you needed to wear like a flannel. So I had my 6x6 pinhole camera, the Reality, in my pocket. I had the little color point and shoot in the other pocket, and in my back pocket I had the Lomo 120 LCA. Cool. So it was a lot of stuff, man. I was like, pull on something, take a picture with that, you know, put it back in.
At least you weren't walking around with an RB67, were you?
Yeah, right. No, I don't even. That's too much of a workout for me.
Is that more than what you usually take with you to shoot?
Oh yeah, Normally, whenever I go places, I like to just bring one camera, put a roll of film in it before I leave for the trip. And I'll shoot that one roll. Like I'm very, I don't want to say picky about what I take pictures about, but I don't like bringing a bunch of stuff. Cause then I'm like, oh, should I bring that? Or what if I should have put color in this? I'd rather just be able to just take pictures with what I have. This is what you got. This is what That's you need cool. to do. You know, I don't not.
It's so. Very, it's very restrained of you. And I think we all just bow down at your restrainedness.
I like that. I wish I could be more like that.
And then I have the 4x5 that I got from Todd, the Box Turtle, which is the third 25 millimeter one. I think it's 25 millimeters. Uh-huh. So now I carry that. And so if I bring that, then I have to bring an empty box of film, a box with film, a changing bag, you know what I mean? To like,
it's kind make of make it lot. Work.
And so, yeah. So I kind of like just, if I do bring a bunch of stuff like that with me, normally I'll just bring one camera with me when I walk out and go do something, you know? And just do that. So, yeah, but it's all right.
So, Moni, World Pinhole Day, where we met up this year, you've got some awesome pictures on your Instagram. I love the ones you, much better than anything I managed to come up with in Norwich Cathedral.
Oh,
but
thank you.
The you were using Ektar inside with your Reality So Subtle 6x6. And there's one...
Yeah.
A beautiful one, if folks look on Moni's Instagram site, taken on the floor of the vestibule, and it's got an overall sort of blue cast to it with the lighting in the vaulting going back into very, really well done for placing it almost on the rule of thirds, the vanishing point.
Nice. Yeah, good.
I think you're supposed to say I meant to do that. That's totally fine. Thanks. I'm glad somebody finally noticed that because I've been waiting.
Your pinhole shots, considering it's pretty dark inside Norwich Cathedral, and I found it a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it was so dark.
How long were your exposures?
That one was about 15 minutes, I think you said.
Yes.
They didn't say anything to you?
No, we had permission. We had permission.
Yeah,
we Alex, were. Alex Yates had organized it really well, and he'd approached the cathedral and got to say, look, there's going to be 20 pinhole photographers with tripods.
They let you guys
Yeah. And they'd like areas that were roped off, they just unrope it for us and go, and you could go in into areas that were normally just roped off. You
know? Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really nice of them. Alex really just went above and beyond. It was really cool to, you know, he went and got, talked to the people at the cathedral, and they were the cathedral people who, they don't own the cathedral. What's the right word? Manage the cathedral. we're really happy to have us there because for the, you know, they wanted us to tag our photos on Instagram and all that stuff. They seemed really to really welcome us in there. Cool. So that was really nice. Yeah.
And the pictures you took outside as well were far better than, I think, because I was using black and white and it was a really gloomy day, but there's something about ektar. You can use it under really gloomy conditions and it just looks great, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yes.
It just looks great.
I love it. Yeah. And ektar can be a little bit oversaturated, you know, but I think it's a great, yeah, it's a really good one to use on a gloomy day because it sort of kind of helps with the
lively.
It makes things a little more lively.
I don't use much color. My pinhole experience with color film has been mainly ektar because of the great results I've seen elsewhere, and I've been really pleased with it. Indoors, I find it a bit more challenging, and somebody on the Facebook group said, why don't you try Portra, or I don't know, there's a Fuji 400, isn't there? Any of you guys experience with other color negative stock indoors, and do they behave differently? My experience is just with ektar. What about you, Moni? Have you used other or curry?
I've used ektar, and then I tried messing around a little bit with the slide film and cross-processing that in the C41 chemistry, mm-hmm. You know? But I am not a color person. I like black and white. I don't do much color. I just don't like, I don't know. It's just weird to say, but I kind of feel like there's just too many expectations with it for myself. You know, like it really has to be a scene that's obviously has to be color. You know what I mean? Like it really needs to be like over the top with color for me to be like, oh, I think I'd like to shoot this with color, you know?
Yeah,
I just really like black and white. I mean, that's just me.
I've only really shot color this summer, just for a change, really, I suppose, and because I've seen people like Lorraine Healy posting a lot of color and Moni Smith posting a lot of color.
I'm always jealous of you guys too, because I'm always like, God, I wish I could shoot color, you know. But like, I don't know what it is about it. It just doesn't work.
Doesn't
for me.
Do it for you.
You're just a monochromatic guy. Color in your life at all.
I have some color on my, if you go to my Instagram webpage and look, I have stuff that I shot in color, and I mean, I like it. I mean, it's good, but on average, if I grab something to, you know, load up, I normally just grab some variant of black and white, you know.
Is it just ektar that you stick with, Moni, or do you have other color stocks?
I love ektar, I think, the best, but I also really like Portra 160. And I'm trying to think of indoors. I was looking at, I think I just use ektar a lot. So
that's
kind of what I have the most experience with. And it does shift blue when you have longer exposures, I think. But, and I just started using a Fuji 100 speed. I don't know what it was. They just handed it to me at, Blue Moon last time I was there.
Okay, cool.
First one, because Zeb said the first one's free.
Yeah.
And the second roll's $5.
I have one here I'm looking at it that is and this was Portra. And yeah, it's nice actually indoors. I have an indoor one. And it doesn't seem to be shifting into any weird, you know, color.
Super blue or green.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. Portra is a nice one, I think, for indoors. Yeah, but this Fuji one seems pretty good too. It's not quite as, I wish I could tell you what it was, but it's not quite as saturated or, you know, as ektar. So
it's
it
probably
might be
the
a good
same
one
stuff
for indoors.
I had. I used some stuff that was expired that was Fuji, and it was 3H or it's probably the same stuff, and I didn't like it because it wasn't enough color for me. I mean, it was
kind of me too. Like whenever I've used it outside, I've never really liked it, but it seems to do some nice indoor pinhole shots.
Cool.
So, and I've been thinking I've been thinking about indoor photography as the nights draw in.
You have, Andrew? You've been thinking?
I've been thinking, yes. I do occasionally. And I think I'm going to try my hand over Christmas time. I've got a couple of weeks off over Christmas. And I'm going to try and construct some images. And I'll probably just use black and white film, I think. And I've got some black cloth. And I can dig a few household lamps up and reflectors and try and construct some images from things, you know, and see how... Either of you two done any of that sort of still life pinhole work?
Not like that. That sounds really cool, actually.
I've got things I've picked up, you know, just from walking about, and I shove in the garage in a box, and I think I might start bringing them out and see what I can come up with.
I have some stuff that I've been working on, but I'm not going to tell you about it right now because I'm going to wait until I'm done with it.
Ooh. Huh.
All right. Well, you're no fun at all, are you?
I can't help it, man. That's a secret.
So, World Pinhole Day this year was fun. Next year, I'm really bummed because I won't be able to come to Boston. So it's in Boston. You want to tell us a little bit about what's going on with Boston and who's hosting it?
So, Carla and Evan.
See Carla. See Carla shoot.
Yeah, they were also in Norwich, too, so you met them.
I did.
And, yeah, they're hosting it. They live in Boston, and it looks like they... If you want to sign up, there's an Eventbrite for it. And maybe what I'll do is I'll share the link with you guys so you can post that on the... I'll post the link maybe to the Facebook group or something like that.
Sure.
And, yeah, there's an Eventbrite, and... she's already sent out an agenda for what we're doing that weekend, and it looks really fun. We're going to go to Salem, Massachusetts, which I'm really excited about, on Friday. And
that's the
The Friday before, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because it's kind of like a whole weekend thing at this point.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was if you guys were going to do like you did last year, where you were doing things all week. Because I think what I'm going to be doing is driving up Thursday. Mm-hmm. Late Thursday afternoon, I probably will get up there, you know, like 8 or 9 o'clock. So I won't be able to be there for Thursday. Friday. I'm planning on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and whenever we.
That's pretty
Sunday,
much what I'm we do. Yeah, it's usually it's usually just the weekend. It's usually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they might have a baseball game sort of lined up for us at the
Take your Delta 3200
with you. Yeah. That'll be cool. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
And
are you taking your better half with you, Corey, or are you leaving her at home?
It's probably going to be it's probably just going to be me, I think. I don't know. It's
Julie
still
came
a ways
with me
away, so.
Yeah, she'll love it. Julie came with me to Norwich, and she's not a photographer, really. Pinhole.
But did she follow you guys around and watch everybody take pinholes all day?
Yeah. She stayed with us, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, in fact, I gave her my Zero 2000 camera, and she used that a bit.
But she does photography a little bit, doesn't she?
Digital stuff that we don't talk about. Yeah.
Right.
No, my daughter's a bit animal.
She doesn't listen to this, don't worry.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, I'm really jealous. Well, I think what I might do on that date in April, is it? Somewhere around in April, isn't it? I think I might, we have a Boston as well. We've got the original Boston here.
Yeah.
So I might put a little thing out on the group and for English colleagues who aren't going to Boston in America. So why don't we go to Boston and just show them
that's
that we
awesome.
We can and we can do the same thing, but Boston and Lincolnshire. It's about it's about an hour away from where I live. So
that's not bad.
That's cool. That'll be fun. That's a great idea. I love it.
And I could do I could do a face cast onto the Facebook group to say
that sounds great. Yeah.
To all our world pinhole people in Boston. Here we are I'll find the town sign and stand underneath it.
There you go.
So I'm thinking maybe I'm going to corner people and interview them for the show. Yeah. So maybe that show after that will be everybody being interviewed and asked questions, you know. So we'll see. I don't know.
Alex did that one year for the Pinhole podcast. He interviewed people in Amsterdam. It was really cool. It was fun.
Yeah, I bet.
I'd like Did he just knock on windows and interview people in Amsterdam?
No, we were actually we met up in Amsterdam. That was our first get together.
I know.
And yeah. Oh, okay, good.
I'm teasing you.
And yeah,
you'll catch on to him after a while. Don't worry.
I was going to say something profound then, and I've forgotten what it was.
Yeah. Is it? Oh. Salt Prince, is that what you're going to say?
No.
Do you even shoot 35 millimeter, Monty?
Yeah, I do. I don't shoot a lot of it. I usually only save it for when I when I'm on vacation or something like that. Yeah. And I usually like to take a 35 millimeter camera with me. Yeah. And I don't like shooting color in 35 millimeter. I shoot black and white, and mm-hmm. kind of like to try my hand at street photography or something, you know.
Do you do when I do that pinhole with it, or are you just normal?
No,
regular?
I don't like doing 35 millimeter pinhole. I tried it a few times and I don't like it.
On your website, monysmithphoto.com, you have a selection of sort of street work, don't you? There's some in Dublin, Seattle. Some nice mm-hmm. shots taken with a traditional 35 mil. What camera are you using?
It kind of varies. I do have a lot of 35 millimeter cameras, but I like to shoot with an Olympus OM camera.
Yeah, my first camera was an OM-1. I had it for years. I sold it a couple of years ago.
Love that camera. Yeah. And then I love, actually, when I travel, my favorite camera to travel with is an Olympus XA. So probably most of those are with that.
A brilliant picture in Seattle from 2013 with a couple that appear to be partially silhouetted, and they appear to be waltzing in a street, but I'm sure they're not. But they look like they're dancing, and it's a very dark image with a bright at the end, and these sort of silhouettes of people dancing in the street. Well, they look like they're dancing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are dancing, but in my mind they are. That's great. And then there's a blurry sort of pinhole-esque sort of reminiscent of who did we have on early on when I was first with you, Corey. I've forgotten his name. John.
Name is escaping me.
Yeah, John.
Oh.
Yeah, you asked me. You anyway. Do this to me, Wilkings.
Yes.
John Wilkings.
I thought of that too when I got this back from actually developed it myself. It was from, it was actually an accident, and I had my, it's a Holga on bulb mode.
Oh, do you, I do that all the time.
I accidentally shot the whole roll on bulb mode.
I've done
and
that.
And everything was just ridiculously blurry, but this one turned out kind of cool, so.
It's really easy to do though, isn't it?
Yes. Oh my God, it's so annoying.
And you've got some lovely portraits. You say for a shy person, you know, are these just all friends of yours, your portraits?
Yeah, friends and family mostly. Yeah. Actually, only friends and family. I just do not have the guts to ask strangers to take, if I can take their portraits. It would be cool, but yeah. But yeah, I love portraits. I love the idea of portraits even in art in general, even like the sketching and things like that.
There was a great.
I would love to get more into it.
There's a great exhibition Julie and I went to in Liverpool recently with Francesca Woodman. I don't know if you know her work. She was a young photographer who died really young. She took her own life in her 20s, Francesca Woodman, and she just explored the idea of self through distortion and movement of self portraits, and then And they contrasted her photographs with. He's either German or Dutch painter, Schön, is it? For goodness sake. I think he might be German or French, and I want to say his name is Schön. And he did distort turn of the night of the 20th century, lots of self portrait, but painted self portraits. And he had lots of mental health issues as well, and he did tortured images of himself. But Francesca Woodman, if you can get hold of her work, you know, okay. it's really interesting. And I
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you should do. Absolutely excellent. And I picked a secondhand copy of a book up on a books, I think. But you've got some great self-portraits. I love the one of in a hotel. Because what do you do in a hotel?
Yeah.
The one of you just got yourself in the mirror. And there's a table there. And it's a really lovely image.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
and it's an unusual one.
Was like one of the first pinhole photos I ever took. I took Zeb's class, and the class, we all got Holga pinhole cameras in the class, and some film. And so that was my first pinhole camera. It was the camera I got from his, well, the second pinhole camera was the one I got from his class. And so that's the camera I'm using in that picture. And basically the next weekend after that class, we went to the beach and stayed at the beach. And so I was really like I just pinholed everything, you know, I was just so enamored. And so that, yeah, I was kind of like,
do you know what I love about that is you're perfectly placed in the frame and you can see the camera and then you can see your glasses, your spectacles on the table.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And there's something about that as well, you know, in terms of seeing and looking. I think that's great.
Oh, cool. I did that on purpose. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
And then you've got the looking in the fridge picture, which is, I love those.
Yeah. That was fun. That one was the result of my friend Hank, who's also, I think he's in the Lensless Facebook group. And he posted something on Facebook about somebody talking about how Facebook is the equivalent of like us opening up the refrigerator and staring at, you know, how like you just need something, you're hungering for something. And so you open up the refrigerator and you just kind of stare into the void of the refrigerator trying to find something, you know? So that's what like the Facebook is sort of like the equivalent of that. And it kind of is, if you think about it. So anyway, that's where that idea came from. So I just
I'm liking the Facebook groups better than Instagram. I think I said that the other day, but
probably just Friday. You said that.
Yeah. just
really
mere days ago.
Facebook group. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. I should just wish you guys happy Thanksgiving for tomorrow, yesterday, whatever day.
Next week.
Thank you. Let's see. So in the future, we'll be all stuffed on turkey and
I'll be napping. Yeah. in this show. So you might not hear me. But I do like the Facebook group. It just feels a little bit more comfortable. It's great to be able to talk to people who are just coming in and questions, and you know, I don't know, it just flows really easy, and everybody's pretty mellow, you know, so it's kind of, that makes it a lot easier when you're at doing something with a lot of people who are like-minded and they're there for the exact reason you are, you know, so.
Yeah.
When you get to meet these guys as well, it's just fantastic. Yeah. So you'll really enjoy.
It is super cool.
You'll really enjoy the Boston meetup, and I'm super jealous.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun. I'm really, I'm looking forward to it, so.
Bonnie, you're part of this Scopes organization, aren't you? Seattle Camera Obscura Photography Enthusiast Society.
Yeah. I'm like supposed to be the Portland like ambassador or whatever. Todd's made me a co-administrator so I could put together the Portland meetups, but I've been I haven't been able to get out. So,
and I think people can go to those, and if they're new to it, people will help them out and lend them a pinhole camera and so on.
Definitely, cool.
We had some new people who'd not shot pinhole before turn up to Norwich, didn't we? And there was somebody I think who Alex knew, and she gave her his Zero camera for the day.
Yeah, I feel like he loaned a bunch of people his Zero camera, actually. I think there were quite a few people that were new to pinhole.
You mean Andrew's Zero?
No,
that's a different app. Never mind.
Yeah, there was actually quite a few people that came that Alex knew that didn't know how to do pinhole. That yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, and we'll do that with the Scopes meetup. And it's actually it's a meetup group on meetup.com. And so if you're in Portland or Seattle, you can find us on Meetup, and we'll definitely hook you up with a pinhole camera, you know, if you want to show up.
Come one, come all.
And yeah, for UK listeners, while we're on the subject of meeting up, for UK listeners, on December the 8th, that we have a similar website. I think you guys use it in America as well. It's just all over. Photowalk.me, mm-hmm. which yeah. Martin Smith started. And that's a really good way to organize meetups. And he's organized one on December the 8th in London for London, people who can get to London. So I'm going on that. I think there's 8 or 9 people going.
It's kind of weird because I've seen that website, and I think it's really cool. And I've seen that you guys use it over in England more. But the random thing about that is I noticed that there was a meetup on there in Spokane, Washington, which is where I was born and raised, and I lived there 9 years ago. I lived there again. I moved back there for 4 years. And I just thought it was so weird. It's like, wow, there's film photographers in Spokane, Washington. Okay.
There's cool people in Spokane now.
Yeah. It is actually, it's a really good way of organizing a meetup because you can sign up to it. You can get updates as the itinerary changes. You know, the organizer know who's coming and can contact you. And it's really good, really good idea.
Yeah, it's really neat. It looks really awesome.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Monty, thanks for coming again. I think
you're welcome.
I'm glad you made it back. Yeah. It feels like it's been years since I've talked to you last, but it hasn't even been a year yet, you know?
It's only been a few months.
When was episode one, Corey?
March, April? I think it was in March. Yeah, it was in March because it was cold. It was freezing cold outside, too. It was, it was in March. Yep, almost a year.
It's just been a few months. But yeah, this show's been great. Every time I listen to it, I get inspired. So
we do too.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. We love it. It's fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I can smell roast pork.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
What are you doing to your cameras then? Oh, I forgot to tell you, when we recorded the last show, literally minutes after we got done recording, I was in a hotel in Asheville, and the fire alarm went off.
Oh my god!
And everybody had to evacuate. You know,
we were really hot on that show when we were smoking. We were.
You had interesting experiences, didn't you? Have a hurricane during one of your shows or something like that? Wasn't there?
I missed 2 shows because of the hurricane without having any power, and Andrew had to do
it. Two shows. So I was the first one when he bailed out because of the hurricane. I was with Neil Piper, and we were desperately trying to interview Cesare Barczak from Vermeer cameras, but we managed it. But the line was terrible. We kept, you know, the quality of the recording was a bit poor. But the following week, that was when I was just me and Zeb Andrews. So. That was lots of fun because he was on location somewhere
with helicopters.
With helicopters, drunk people, and trains, planes, trains, helicopters, and drunk people wandering in.
But I was so prepared. I was so prepared for that smoke when the alarm went off and everybody, you know, ran outside. You know, I had my little point and shoot, a little 35mm with me because I was expecting to see people in bathrobes carrying their dogs, you know, and like. I was like, oh, something's going to happen, but nothing happened. Somebody was smoking. Somebody was smoking on the second floor staircase, and that's what turned the alarm off. The thing off. Yeah.
So when it happens at 1 a.m. in the morning, that's the worst.
I'm sure.
Oh, no kidding.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, Monty, if you want to let everybody know where they can track you down to sign up for Elfster, take a look at your webpage and the Kit Swap.
So you can pretty much find me if you go to montysmithphoto.com. That'll get you to the postcard swap, and in the about section you can find all my social media places.
Is there a link for Elfster in your about?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
cool.
I could do that though. Yeah, there's a link to Elfster on my website. But yeah, I'll make it easy. I'll put Elfster like right there where all the other links are too.
Cool.
So, and there's no, actually I'll also put a link to the Git swap too. But if you want to go to check out the Git swap, that's at gitswap.org.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, where can we find you?
You can find me
if you want to find him. If you don't want to, it's okay.
If you're really interested, you can find me on the Lensless Podcast Facebook group quite regularly, or you can put into the interweb Warboys Snapper and find me in most places under Warboys Snapper, or specifically underscore pinholes on Instagram.
That's where you'll be.
And people don't realize, some people don't realize, but Warboys is a village where I live, so that's, there's nothing sinister about Warboys.
You're not a mean guy.
No.
You like,
just a village.
Nobody knows this, but Andrew is a bare knuckle fighting champion of the world. He's a war boy.
Yeah, a great Duran Duran fan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Wild Boys.
Wild Boys.
Oh, God.
So,
before we know it, we'll be talking about St. Nicholas and Black Pete, but we won't go there.
Yeah, they're all over there today.
No, yeah.
No, no. But we will say we hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving if you're celebrating Thanksgiving, because this show will be coming out after that. So hope the holidays have been well for everybody so far.
Happy holidays, as they say in America.
It's almost over already. I can't believe it. It's almost, you know.
I can't either.
I know it's getting close because I start receiving notes around the house with lists of toys on them for my kid. You know, he's like, hey, watching TV. And he's like, hey, you know, like pointing to the TV, you know, not twitching towards the TV. See this right here? You know,
Oh, God.
But anyway, so yeah. All right. Well, have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So this is technically the day after Thanksgiving, right? So everybody, how is everyone's Thanksgiving?
Oh, like in the future. This is the future.
Is that right?
Yeah, like Thursday Thanksgiving, so not for you, Andrew, but
I give thanks for every day that I managed to get out of bed.